playing with an idea for a side hustle, but just don't have the time to do it? Well, with Wix, you get the freedom to build a successful side business online while keeping your other priorities front and center. And don't worry if you don't have all the answers. Who does, right? Our chat-based AI can guide you through the process, creating a website that's as unique as you are, no matter what your field. From starting your part-time passion to growing it into your full-time career. Go to Wix.com to get started.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
There were tetchy exchanges in the Dáil last night between the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, and Sinn Féin housing spokesperson, Eoin Óibrin. It came as the government put down a counter-motion to the Sinn Féin private member's motion seeking to declare a housing emergency, with Deputy O'Brien branding the minister an embarrassment. Take a listen to these heated exchanges between the two.
Completions are up. Planning permissions are up, and first-time buyer levels are up to the highest since 2008. They are facts. The plan is starting to work and will deliver 300,000 new homes by 2030 to finally help to solve the housing crisis that we are in. And I take it, deputies opposite, that you don't want to see schemes like Shangana Castle, which are underway producing 600 cost-rental affordable homes and social homes, because you oppose the Land Development Agency. You voted against it. But what we do know is that Sinn Féin don't believe it. I didn't interrupt any of them once. Don't believe in home ownership. And that is plainly obvious. Your alternative budget, what does it propose to do? It proposes to abolish the Help to Buy grant, which has helped 32,000 homeowners. It will scrap the First Home Scheme that's already issued over 670 approval certs for people, many of whom stuck in a rental trap, to help them buy their own home. You oppose that. And inexplicably, there's something wrong with giving homeowners a grant to help to do up vacant and derelict properties. You oppose that as well, the Croí Cónaithe scheme. And since then, and we know this because it's a fact and you don't like it, you continue to oppose housing developments right away through this country. That whilst your motion is about semantics and it's a cynical approach, I want to actually know what practical measures you will bring forward. And I do seek your support later this year. And I would ask you, on the floor of the House, will you support government's emergency planning measures that we will bring forward to expedite delivery? Furthermore, the deputy has referred to
deputies.
I ask the deputy to withdraw that remark. It's personal charges that he makes all the time. And in fairness,
I would say most of the country believe that as well.
Lively exchanges there in the House. Joining me now to talk about this is Grainne Nié, reporter with PA Media, and we'll also be talking to Orla Hegarty, architect and assistant professor at the School of Architecture at UCD. Good morning and welcome. First of all, Grainne, tell us about these exchanges. I mean, the background to it was a motion by Sinn Féin.
Yeah, basically the housing minister made comments at the weekend that he wouldn't go so far as to say that there was a housing emergency, though he admitted there was a housing crisis. And this sparked Eoin Óibrin to put forward a motion of to declare a housing emergency in the country. And in putting that motion forward yesterday, he said, I call on you, the Minister for Housing, to join us in declaring a housing emergency and to change your policy, or else there will be a change of government. So it started off quite tense, but this is basically the opposition trying to put more pressure on the government overhead, because it is the biggest issue that the government is facing. And, you will hear the housing minister, you heard him in the clip there, saying all the things that have been done, all the starts that and grants that have been done and offered. And you will hear more of that as the months go on. But as long as people on the ground have difficulty paying their rent, buying a house, And as long as the homeless numbers stay at record highs, that's not going to be good enough.
Now, what does declaring an emergency mean? I mean, what powers does it give to politicians to do things that they would not otherwise be able to do under the law?
Well, I suppose it's an emergency is, you know, in an emergency situation, you saw over the pandemic that certain provisions were allowed and certain, you know, for example, the eviction ban that's in place at the moment. For a while, the government were saying that was OK in an emergency situation during the pandemic when people couldn't leave. But we don't know if we could do that this winter without that emergency situation in place. Now, as it happens, they did it anyway, but they time limited it to an extent that the opposition and others say that it doesn't do much. But that's the kind of thing that the government might be able to do if they did declare an emergency.
In other words, if they have concerns about the constitutionality of such a ban, that by declaring it an emergency, then they can carry on rather longer than, you know, as I suppose they could carry on as long as the emergency is deemed to last.
Well, as well as that, the government have used the constitution quite a bit to say they can't do certain things in terms of the protection it gives to homeowners to, you know, and property rights and that kind of thing. And that really hasn't been tested. So that is something that has come up a good few times in relation to a rent freeze, in relation to an eviction ban. We've heard it quite a bit that it would be unconstitutional. We don't actually know that for sure, unless it is actually tested in the courts. Yeah. But that's what the government argues. But I do think it goes to show that testy exchange in the Dáil, that the opposition will be pushing the government on this. And also it's worth bearing in mind that there is a protest this weekend and the opposition want to draw attention to that to drum up support, which in turn would put more pressure on the government than the motion would.
Right. Did Deputy O'Brien come up with any practical solutions? Because we've talked to him on the programme, and my big question is, how do you magic up the workforce to do all the things that the government is claiming it wants to do, like retrofitting homes as well as building new houses? And, you know, people who want to do an extension can't find a builder anywhere. They're all so busy, etc., etc., etc. We don't have Eastern European workers anymore. Do Sinn Féin have a solution that would magic up these huge cohorts of building workers that would be necessary to accelerate the process?
They didn't mention workforce, but at the very start of the debate, they did address what the Taoiseach Micheál Martin and others in government say often is that a lack of a detailed plan from the opposition on what's the alternative.
The opposition see their duty to oppose. I mean, by opposing, they test government policy. That's what oppositions do.
I suppose one of the things that was what Ón Oberinn said was that no-fault evictions should be banned, as is done in other countries, that there should be a rent freeze because rents are already at an exorbitantly high rate. And the Daft report was mentioned, which saw rents increase by 14%, I think is the highest that it has to date. So those were the things used to argue that there should be a rent freeze to get things moving. And then instead of having a target on homes, Ón Oberinn said that there should be 20,000 social and affordable homes per year. Other members of the opposition talked about the state being more involved in housing policy than they currently are and not leaving so much of it up to the private sector, with independent TD and the last Ciarán Cóirle, Catherine Connolly, saying that there was a snobbishness around how housing supply is looked at by the state currently. So it did get quite heated at times.
All right, well, we'll see where it all goes. Thank you very much for joining us, Grainne Lea, reporter with PA Media. Orla Hegarty, architect, assistant professor at the School of Architecture in UCD, listening to all of that. Orla, good morning.
Good morning.
It is a difficulty. I mean, when we look at the pipeline of housing, you're looking for potential delays. You know, the developers will say, well, Irish Water can't give us connection. Others will say planning permissions are too slow. Others will say it's a workforce issue. You know, we're building as fast as we can with the people we have available. How do you see it?
I think we need to get past a lot of the noise on this. Obviously, politically, there's a lot of heated debate going on for lots of reasons. But also, there's a lot of spin going on, really, in terms of maintaining the status quo and particular vested interests in all of this. And I think we need to get past all of this. We've been distracted for the last number of years with people looking for further planning and standards deregulation, with people looking for further subsidies by talking about exorbitant costs. And really, these things are not evidenced on the ground. We have 80,000 ready-to-go planning permissions nationally. Planning is not a barrier to housing. But developers are looking for further deregulation because that's a way to increase profits and increase land values.
Yeah,
but,
what
but
sort of things really do they want? What sort of regulations do they want removed or changed?
Well, we've had a whole raft of them since 2015. And, you know, what's notable is that this debate started between the developers and government in 2015 with a promise that they would deliver two-bedroom apartments in Dublin for sale between 200,000 and 260,000. And on the basis of that, we had a reduction in sizes, reduction in standards for build-to-rent, reduction in amenities and creche places and play space. All of that has happened, removal of the height caps, changes to Part 5, so the social and affordable component, more subsidies along the line. And all that's happened in the 7 years of that is that prices in Dublin have doubled and apartments now are considered to be 500,000 in Dublin. So we've had a lot of reduction in standards, really this just that has delayed development.
I mean, I'm looking at developments where the only green space or space for people to recreate is a balcony. I mean, it's crazy stuff that's going on.
Well, it's worse than that. I mean, we have developments permitted now with no balconies, no possibility of decent ventilation and daylight, internal bedroom spaces that don't have windows, people eating and sleeping and doing everything in one room.
And who is responsible? Which minister actually allowed standards to deteriorate so much? Was it
all of them, really? Yeah. I mean, it has gone through all of them. I mean, from, I suppose we've had Alan Kelly, Simon Coveney, Owen Murphy, and now Dara O'Brien. So, you know, it hasn't been one particular party or one particular minister that's been involved. It's been a whole raft of things.
But you see, I don't get it, Orla.
This has come about.
Like, I'm not an architect, but I have eyes to see. And you look at developments being built and you say, my God, how are people expected to live in those? You know, there isn't place to swing a cap, never mind store a suitcase under the bed for your occasional holiday. Crazy stuff, but, you know, and completely at odds to the style of construction they have in continental Europe, where apartment living has been a part of life for a long, long time. I mean, what kind of idiots allow these things to be built? And what kind of developers are cynical enough to put them up for sale or rent?
Well, bear in mind that, you know, when people do an exercise on paper, it increases the land value. Whether somebody is happy to pay 450 or 500,000 for a tiny apartment in the eventual development is not really on their radar. You know, and I think what's happened as well with all of this increased density is it's made it impossible to phase developments. Now, developers manage their risk by phasing developments, mm-hmm. and people will have seen that in the past. If you were building five or six floors of apartments, you could work your way down the street. You know, you could have the first building finished out and occupied, and the income from that or the sale of the apartments would fund the next piece down the street and their door and their lift. What we've gone away from that is into these very, very high per dense developments where really you have to build several hundred units before anything can be occupied. And the carry finance cost on that is enormous for a developer. The SCSI in one report have said that could be up to 40 or 50,000 per apartment just in carrying finance for a fully completed apartment that can't be occupied because you can't get to it safely. So, you know, the push for hyper-density and high-rise has actually, ironically, made a lot of these developments unviable.
And is this why we get the big funds coming in and buying up developments? I mean, I know they have been constrained now by changes in the rules, but buying up big developments. So the developer who's trying to build says, OK, here's my white knight. I sell it all, not alone to international funds, but sometimes local funds will buy these things up in their entirety, which allows the developer to breathe a sigh of relief. At least I'm getting my money back and maybe a lot more.
Well, it's impossible for developers to get fund finance now unless they forward fund. So they are really tied into selling to funds. And we haven't really thought through the implications for Dublin. We can see the new build-to-rent blocks on stream, and they're starting really now at about €2,000 for a one-bed and 2.5 for a two-bed. And if you look at the numbers that have been built, we talk about a lot of new apartments in Dublin over the last number of years. 8,000 of the new apartments never came to market at all. So they are obviously being held within funds or within the investor market. And, you know, if somebody is looking at, you know, that kind of model of living we're told we should have, which is, you know, high priced student housing and then into a build to rent and then maybe a house in the suburb for, you know, your middle aged years and then into downsizing into another rental. You know, if you add it up, that adds up to $1.5 million housing cost over somebody's adult lifetime. It's just untenable. So we have to really go back to basics. We know what actual construction costs are without all of the middlemen in between, you know, and the land speculation and the finance costs that just add, you know, more debt to people. So we know the basic costs from the Department of Housing, from their own statistics on what it costs to build, and it can be done. You know, even last year, the Department of Housing are saying that from tendering work, a two-bedroom apartment can be built nationally all in for about €255,000. So, yeah. You know, that's not off the scale for what a lot of people could afford without much
subsidy.
So
are we talking about the price of land then, you know, developers buy a piece of land, then because of the density they're putting on it, it gets upvalued. So even though they may not have paid so many millions for the land, it goes down, its book value is inflated because of the planning that it gets, and therefore that inflates the price that the apartment
exactly,
is on
yeah.
offer.
The book value has either been inflated so they can't take a loss by building out, or it has been bought at a high price because it's been flipped on. So high land prices are actually baked in now, and that's why we see a drop off. One of the reasons we see a drop off in commencement notices, which is quite alarming recently in the last number of months. So the pipeline for next year is very uncertain, and I think the construction industry is getting worried. It's getting worried about construction jobs, and we really need to focus back on the two really key things here. One is capacity in the construction sector, keeping jobs here, keeping skills here, because a lot of the hotel and office developments are not continuing on. So we need a real focus on construction jobs. And the second one is on affordability, because there's no point producing thousands of apartments in Dublin at those kind of prices. People need to see that they can afford on real salaries, and we need to keep our competitive edge then by not over subsidising housing and not driving wages high, because people need to pay for high housing costs.
Yeah. And then there's kind of building the appropriate kind of housing. I mean, there are many people who live in big houses that are too big for their needs at a certain stage in their lives. And they're told, why don't you downsize to an apartment? And then there's nothing to be bought, you know, in the neighbourhood where people have the large house they want to flog.
Obviously, downsizing is a good option for some people. You know, they may find the space unmanageable or hard to heat, or they may not be able to manage a garden anymore. There are reasons for that. And there are older suburbs where we do need appropriate housing for them to downsize. But it can't be, you know, microscopic rentals where they're paying high rent through their retirement and they don't have space even to have family around.
Yeah, but they might want to buy something, you know, because if you've got a pension pot and you don't know how long you're going to live, you're paying massive rents to people uncontrolled, maybe when if they're outside rental pressure zones, and you know, you're watching your pension deplete and vanish because you're paying rent. You know,
yeah, absolutely. So there are good reasons for downsizing. A lot of people would be much happier buying if they're downsizing and using the equity that they have. But that's really not the solution to everything. You know, we can't underestimate the value of community and social support in people's existing homes, you know, and the fact that they want the space they have for family and caring needs, and they want their garden and their pets and everything else. So, I mean, that isn't the silver bullet for anything either. It is obviously can be part of the solution. But we urgently need affordable family homes throughout the country for younger people who can take on a mortgage and who won't.
Yeah, but how do you do that? How do you then reduce the real cost, which is the price that the developers are putting on the land? I mean, you can't drop the price unless, of course, they're facing a loss because no one's buying and they just have to have a fire sale and reduce the prices. And finally, I should ask you about Naomi O'Leary in the Irish Times has a report about the EU Commission looking at housing. And it says that the house prices don't show signs of potential overvaluation, although Ireland has one of the highest price-to-income ratios. In other words, compared to what people are bringing home in their wage packets, the price of the apartment is rather high. But in objective terms, the cost of housing is not really madly different to a lot of places in Europe.
Well, I think we need to be careful. You know, if you average out nationally, a lot of these problems are disguised. But if you look at the cities, they're not. Demographia have said that Ireland has now moved to being severely unaffordable in Dublin. And that's a major concern. Property is completely out of line with regular incomes. And in fact, the EU Commission did a report on affordability in Dublin and said that it may be lack of competition in the market. That's the problem. So we have huge barriers to entry for small builders and small developers who want to get involved. They can't get land and finance. The government could do a lot to help with that. We have land and they have access to finance. And I think if we had more competition in the market, more people allowed to become small developers, you know, every million can be seed funding to build four units, and that can then get somebody started and roll over into building the next four and the next eight. We don't need all of the money to build housing. We just need money to get started.
All right. Thank you very much, Orla. Orla Hegarty, who is architect and assistant professor at the School of Architecture in UCD.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Imagine a digital space that's hyper-customized to meet your unique vision, where a chat with AI results in a breathtaking storefront that's got your brand all over it. A business-ready site stacked with all the e-com tools you need to manage and scale your store. Sounds like a stretch, right? Wrong. Get multi-channel selling, drop shipping, customized analytics, and a full marketing suite, all of it wrapped up in a user-friendly workspace. Head over to Wix.com and turn your vision into revenue